And so tonight we thank you for your anointing as we speak. We pray, Father God, Lord, that we receive this word, God, Lord, to just change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit about one of the things I feel like is going on in the earth right now, and in church especially, is I believe that we have a connection problem in the church between the church and God. There's a connection problem. Now, the problem's not on God's end. Amen. It's on ours. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about it. Pastorette and I have the router at our house for our internet. For a long time, it was down in our basement. That was the easiest way for them to bring in the telephone lines, and so that router stayed down in the basement. And then we purchased a new one because we wanted more power and be able to so it'd do better and receive better and all that stuff. But every now and then, that router would just lose connection. And we'd get, now our TV's internet, your phones are in, everything just about runs on the internet. So when our router would lose connection with the internet, then we lost internet. We lost connection. And that thing was down in the basement, so it didn't matter if there was a snow on it. It didn't matter if it was raining. It didn't matter if it was first thing in the morning or whatever. If I wanted to watch news, I had to make the trek over because we don't have an inside stairway. But I would have to go out of the house, walk over, go into the basement, go turn that router off, and then turn it back on so it could reconnect to the internet so that we would have internet in the house. Now, the thing was once I turned it off, then it could reset itself, and then when I would turn it back on, it would get a new connection, or it would reconnect itself back to the internet. Okay? So I want you to just kind of keep this in mind. I'll give you a couple examples here as we move along on this. Also, something else that happened just of late is that Stephanie's air conditioner messed up. And they called out the repairmen, and they came out and said, well, it was this and this and this, and a little relay switch or something like that, and they got it back on for her. Well, the next day it quit again. So they're sweating it out. Lillian's got a little air conditioner in her room, so it was just blowing, and she had the cool room, but everybody else was sweating it out. Okay? Even the dog would get over there in her doorway just so he could feel some of the cool air coming out of that. So they had called them back, and they hadn't gotten to them yet. But finally they came, and the little repairman comes, and he checks things out and stuff. And in a few minutes, he's got it working again. And they're just tickled. What did you do? He said, well, I had to turn it off and let it reset. And once he did that, the thing fired back up, and now it's blowing out cold air again. So I wanted you to just kind of think about that. Notice that I had to turn off my router and turn it back on so it could reconnect. Stephanie's air conditioner needed to be turned off so that it could reset and start working again. What about our cell phone service? Anybody, just think about this for a minute. You're calling somebody, you're trying to talk to somebody. Any of you ever made a phone call and the connection, you can't hardly hear, and then sometimes you can hear the other person, but they can't hear you. What do you have to do? You've got to hang up and redial and call again, don't you? So that you can reestablish the connection and get a better connection. Now, I just want you to kind of just ponder some of this. I'm not going to be very long tonight, but this was just on my heart as I thought about the church and thought about things that are going on, has anybody ever been driving down the road and you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden, they're talking and then you can't hear them? And you're just like, hello? Hello? You still there? You still there? You still there? And then all of a sudden it comes back on. They're still talking, right? But you couldn't hear them because you was going through a place that had interference or no signal. But the whole time the other person was talking and you didn't know it because you couldn't hear. Okay? I just some things I want you to think about. Interference was blocking that signal. Now, here's the point I'm trying to get into all this. Is this. That just because you can't hear Him doesn't mean God's not talking. And I kind of feel like the church is there. So what I want us to get tonight is this, that sometimes you just got to turn everything off and reconnect to God. Sometimes you have to turn off the devices. Sometimes you got to clear out whatever it is that's given interference between you and God to where you can't hear God, because God has not stopped talking. God still has a plan. His plan's still coming forth, but you can miss out on it because you can't hear Him because you've got too much other interference in the way. You see, I feel like the church has a lot of interference right now going on. We can just look from here to there and see all kinds of stuff that's going on. You know, last weekend we had Rod Run going on. We have ball games going on. We have these things going on. All these things are running interference and causing people to disconnect from God. Now, it doesn't mean that they're turned away from God. It just means that they've found something else that they put before God or put between them and God. Can anybody give me an amen on that? I know we don't want to, but it's just the same. See, here's the thing about interference. Sometimes the interference is not your fault. Sometimes there's some things going on in the spirit realm that it's not your fault that you're not hearing what you need to hear. Let me give you a biblical example. So go with me over to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. This should be kind of a familiar story to everybody. Daniel chapter 10. Let's pick up verse 1. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms like feet, like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now I wanted to read all that so that you would see there was interference. Daniel's a man of God. Notice that he was greatly beloved. Now, it wasn't a problem with Daniel receiving. His receiver was good. And it wasn't a problem with God sending the message. The sender was good. The problem was the interference between God and Daniel, which was nothing other than a demonic spirit. The enemy, the king of Persia, that was a demonic force that was challenging him, keeping him from bringing Daniel the answer. Notice he says, from the very first day that you set your heart before God, the day he began to fast, began to pray, that day the angel was dispersed with the answer for Daniel, but he didn't get there for 21 days because of what was going on in the heavenly realm. And he said, Michael came and helped me. I stayed there, and then now I've come now to give you the answer that you asked for 21 days ago. That's when God sent it. See, I want you to understand that sometimes everything can be okay with you, but you have to understand that there are demonic forces that are all around us. If you could see them, and those demonic forces are trying to keep us from seeing the truth of what's really going on. Those demonic forces are trying to keep us from understanding what's happening in the world right now. What's happening in the church. You have to understand that the devil does not want you to know what the will of the Lord is. He does not want you to know what the plan of God is. And so we have to stay with it no matter whether we're hearing God or not. When we know that we're in the right, we just keep on pressing in. We just stay there. And having done all to stand there for. You don't quit just because you're not hearing anything. You just keeping on. See, Daniel refused to give up. He didn't get up and say, well, God must not be listening to me. Right? He didn't get up and say, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been fasting now 21 days. I'm about starved out. Come on. Folks will do that when they're starting to try to fast. A lot of folks won't even fast. He didn't quit praying because he was weary from praying. He kept on and kept his face toward God, and then he received the answer later because there was interference. I want you to understand that if the devil can keep you from hearing, if he can interfere with you, he will. Did you hear what I said? He'll do that. I've seen that altar call many times. I've seen people, you know, maybe have children, and maybe one of the parents are not saved. I've watched them allow that child to run interference for them. Amen. They don't want to listen to what's being said because God's dealing with their heart, and so they turn their attention to something else. Some folks will get up and go to the bathroom because they can't. They're trying to run interference to keep from hearing what God's saying to them when He's speaking to their heart. So see, this interference thing is what I want us to get to see what is it that's interfering with us. If everything's good between us and God, then we need to just stay with it and ask God, you know, God, whatever this is that's running interference, either reveal it to me so that I can do something about it, or you can take care of it. Sometimes it's up for us to take care of it. Come on. And there's times that it's something that God has to take care of. Most of the time, the trouble's on our end. Most of the time. But again, here we have this demonic spirit that's running interference, keeping Daniel from getting the word. Now, there's other times that, you know, it's our fault. Let's just put it where it's at. There's other times when we cause the interference. Go with me to Judges chapter 16. Let me read something here for you. Judges 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson's come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night. And in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay until midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them upon the top of the hill that is before Hebron. They thought they was going to trick Samson, but they couldn't trick him that way. He just takes the gate, it's all, he just takes it with him. And it came to pass afterward that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. I think I turned it too fast. I'm sorry. Two pages. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, now thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and saith to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chambers, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said to Samson, hither thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said to him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like as any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our gods have delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our god hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on the which it borne up. Of the one was his right hand, on the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell on the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now, I wanted to read all that because I want you to get this whole picture, because we're talking about connections here. Samson was a mighty man, anointed of God, because he had taken the Nazarite vow. He was supernaturally strong. He was able to just do mighty feats. If you read the whole story of Samson, of how God would use him and when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. But here's what I want you to notice. Samson, with all that, the Bible says that he did not stay with his people when it came to choosing women. He always loved to go to the Philistine women. They were his enemies. So Samson now is here in this house, and he's with somebody that he should not be. If you want to get interference in your life, just start running with somebody that you're not supposed to be with. You talk about causing you some interference. And I'm talking about whether it's the opposite sex, or whether it's folks that you call friends. You have to be careful who you run with and the influence they have on your life. Now, I know that's not a popular thing, because people want to do what they want to do. But here's the thing. When God has a plan for your life, you cannot allow somebody else to interfere with the plan God has for you. You see, because you'll say something like, "Well, I want to do this right here. I feel like I need to do this." And they're going to speak up and say, "Well, why would you want to do that? What's the deal with that? Why I wouldn't do that at all." You see, but they're not the one God told to do it. God told you. So you have to be careful that when you're with people or with someone, you have to be careful. He's with Delilah. Now, the Bible says that he loved her, you know, but he was so blinded by love, and I also believe lust, because Samson did like the women, by lust, that he didn't see what she was doing to him. Come on, think about this. Three different times, you know, she's trying to trick him. You know, he didn't catch on. And then she turns around and she just, day after day after day, "Why do you want to know so bad what my weakness is?" Reckon that didn't occur to him. See, we have to understand, we need to know what's going on. Samson was so blinded there by love and whatever that he really apparently didn't see what's going on. He's jesting with her. But then all of a sudden, you know, she starts crying. She's using her emotions on him now and saying, "You know, if you really love me, you'd tell me." Come on, think about it for a minute. Man, that's been used so many times for manipulation. If you love me. Right? So she's using that on him. Now, once he finally tells her, notice this. When Samson woke up after they'd cut his hair, he didn't even realize that the Lord had departed him. You have to understand that sometimes the disconnection between you and God, it happens slowly. It don't happen. It's not just like our router. It just goes off and you got nothing. Sometimes the disconnection is slow. And it's gradual. And all of a sudden you realize you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, or with the wrong person, or doing the wrong thing. Here you are, disconnected from God. Now, I realize that a lot of people say, "Oh, I'd know." No, you wouldn't know. Because there's a song out there that says it's a slow fade. And that's true. It's a slow fade. It doesn't happen all at once. The devil doesn't just come up to you and say, "Hey, I'm the devil. I'm going to trick you into not serving God." But he'll use things. He'll use interference to come upon you and cause you to back away and disconnect from God. So he comes out, he jumps out, and he said, "Well, I'm just going to go out here and shake myself just like I always do. I'm going to go out here and whip up on these dudes. I'll be back in a minute." But he did not know that the Lord had departed him. And they took him. And they put out his physical eyes. So no longer did he see in a spiritual sense, but now in a physical sense he could not see. He was having to be led around, and they have a big party in the Colosseum, and they bring Samson out because he's been that enemy. He's been the one killing them. He was the one they were afraid of. He represented the kingdom of God to them and God's victory over them. And so when they brought him out there in that Colosseum, man, they're shouting, they're cheering, you know, they're making fun of him, they're mocking him, you know, they're praising their God that has brought down the enemy, and they're doing all that, and they take Samson over here and put him on display. And why he's on display then, notice that he asked the little guy that's leading him around if he'd put his hands on the pillows there. And when he put his hands on the pillow, of course, then he reconnected with God. He began to pray. He began to talk to God. And he said, just one more time, God. Just let me be able to avenge my eyes and show them that you're God one more time. That's what he was saying. And so the Bible says then that he pushed the pillows down. All the pillows fell down. It killed Samson. But notice that it said that he killed more people with his death than he did in all of his life. See, here's the thing. We can kill the enemy by reconnecting our lives to God. We can kill the things that have drawn us away if we'll just make that reconnection. That means sometimes we just have to repent. Maybe sometimes there are just some things that we need to get straightened out. But we need to make sure that we have a strong connection with God. Now, I understand Samson lost his life, but we don't have to lose our life physically, but there may be some things that we have to lose in order to make that reconnection. Some things that we have to disconnect from so that we can reconnect to God. God wants us connected up fully with Him. You can look around in this building tonight and tell there's been a whole lot of unconnecting tonight. You can look and see that there's people that should be here and hooked up and connected up, but they're not here. What they're connected to, I don't know. But I do know this, the church as a whole, a church as a body, everywhere I go, I hear the same thing. People are disconnected. You see, it kind of started along the COVID age. Through COVID, people disconnected from church and started staying home and watching a screen. Now, rightfully so for some folk, but for most folk, they just did it because it was easier. They could sit around in the pajamas. They didn't have to get up on Sunday morning and get ready. Didn't have to go through all that trouble, just flipping on, and they could watch it. You see, watching it is never like it is when you're here. You all know that. But what happened there was they made the disconnect from church first. And started saying, well, we're watching church at home and we're having church at home. But then people became disconnected from their watching it at home. And once they did that, then they were disconnecting from God. And many, many, many people have never been able to make the reconnection to get back to church so they can get back to God. They're busy with everything else that they're doing now, the things that they were doing whenever they had an excuse to do them. Well, it's COVID. We can't church. There's no church. Can't have church. Don't want to be around church. And that kind of thing. But you see, we have to make sure that we stay connected. When you disconnect from God, you're disconnecting from the power. There's so many things that are drawing people away. Matter of fact, go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians here. Let me just give you another scripture here, and then we'll see where we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 11. I'm sorry, chapter 14. No, chapter 13, that's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Here's what Paul writes. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Notice what Paul says. He said, when I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I quit doing childish things. Can I say this? And I probably make some folks mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's time for the church to grow up. It's time for the church to grow up and put away childish things. See, maturity means I understand my responsibility to stay connected to God and to put Him first. I see more and more and more and more things that are distracting and interfering with people's lives. You know, I mean, people will sit for hours and hours and hours on games. Call themselves gamers. I mean, you know, they'll stay up all night on Saturday night playing games, but won't come to church on Sunday morning. There's things like that are going on. There's all kinds of childish things that draw people away from God. And I know folks look at me funny, and I'm just going to think about all the childish things there are in the world that draw big crowds. But if you look at what it is, it's really just childish. Thought about it? I mean, there's so much in the sports world. I mean, they invent games so they can have something else that they can do. And that's all interference. It's all distractions from God. The church has to make sure that we're staying connected. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything ungodly about any of that. I'm just saying anything that we put before God and let it be our God, then we're messing up. When we put it before God and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do rather than worship God, we're messing up with that. We've got to grow up as a church, and we've got to grow up as a people and understand that childish things have to be put away. We have to look at ourselves. Right now, the generations as we're going now, there was a time when you were 18, you were a man, you were a woman. See, some of you won't remember this, and some of you will for sure. But that was the time that you were basically an adult. That's the time you got a job and started supporting yourself. Come on now. You know, if you're going to get a vehicle, you're going to have to buy a vehicle. If you spend those tars, you're going to have to buy your tars. Come on now. But you see what we've done now as a society, we have raised up children, and rather than raising them up after the admonition of the Lord and raising them up to make sure that they're self-sufficient, taking care of themselves and putting God first, we've raised up a generation of babies. I know folks will get mad at me about that. They don't want to leave the house at 18. They don't want to get a job at 18. I can't work and go to college at the same time. Well, you know, the time you spend partying, you could study or work. Come on now. You're not studying all the time. You're able to work and go to school at the same time if you apply yourself to it. But no, you've been used to being kept up by mom and dad, and so you can't, you know, it's a harsh reality, but it is one. Sooner or later, you're going to have to work. And the truth is, it should have started while they were young. Not we shouldn't have, you know, 30-year-old teenagers in our houses. Come on, and you're buying everything for them. I'm talking about not connecting like we ought to connect with God and get them on fire for God instead of on fire for whatever it is they're after. Church, we're going to have to make a choice. Either we connect to God and have a good connection with God, or we're going to lose that connection, and after a while, we're going to lose our generations. We're going to lose our kids because they're not even going to know how to connect to God. They're already connected to their devices. Come on, and we are too, right? You don't leave home without your phone. You turn around and go back and get it. But it's going farther than that. See, we have now come to the place where we are allowing our children to be raised by the devices. See, it's really, really quiet in here. The truth is, your kids are learning things from those devices that you would never in this earth, in the world, let them be taught anywhere else. They're picking up on stuff there. Oh, well, yeah, but it's just kids' YouTube. You better check out kids' YouTube. It's just Disney. You better check out Disney for sure. Just cartoons. You better check out those cartoons. See, because all of this is there to try, once again, to cause interference, to get us to disconnect and get away. So you have to make up your mind. Am I going to stay connected to God? Am I going to be in that area? Or am I going to allow interferences and cause myself to be one of those that when God's talking, I can't hear Him? I don't know about you, but I want to hear God talking when He talks. When He speaks, I want to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Or, "Here am I, what is it you want?" But we have to make that choice. We have to make that connection so that God can speak to us clearly. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me.